Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts.
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who.
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not.
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcast. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships, and so much more. Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. I'm your host, Tate, and today we are covering UFC 205, or UFC New York, whichever way you want to call it, which is actually turned out to be, in my opinion, the greatest UFC card of all time. It did better than expected, where it set a Madison Square Garden record, pay-per-view numbers record-breaking, attendance record-breaking, and the best record of all that was broken is we have Conor McGregor, who is now a champion in two different weight classes, which has never been done in all of the UFC. There's other guys who've won championships in one division, then lost it and went to another division. There's never been another champion who has actually held two titles simultaneously. And Conor McGregor is actually the very first one to ever do that. So all in all, it ended up being a phenomenal card. And there's a lot of things that have really shaken up the UFC and MMA world. Not just with Conor McGregor going through and defeating Eddie Alvarez, but it also changed the women's bantamweight division with Miesha Tate falling and losing. And then right afterwards, announcing her retirement, you had Joanna Jędrzejczyk, who put on a clinic again. The whole shape of the middleweight division has been, you know, dramatically changed with the fight between Chris Weidman and Yoel Romero, and then the championship picture when it comes to the welterweight division, and what's going to happen with Tyrone Woodley with his win over, or actually majority draw, with Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. So we're going to cover all of that today, and a few other fights as well. So stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, we're back. And the first fight we're going to talk about is that main event. And that was Conor McGregor versus Eddie Alvarez. And this was a very interesting fight because everyone who knows anything about Eddie Alvarez has known that Eddie Alvarez is just a really tough fighter. Former Bellator champion, pretty much been a champ everywhere he's gone. Really tough, gritty fighter. And in a lot of cases, a lot of people thought he was tailor-made to beat Conor McGregor. A great wrestler, a guy who had a really super tough chin, And so everyone, there was a lot of money going toward Eddie Alvarez. And, you know, when I looked at this fight initially, I was kind of concerned because when I looked at it and I said, okay, in order for Eddie Alvarez to win, he's going to have to do one of two things. He's either going to, number one, have to take the fight to the ground early and often, or he's going to have to take Conor McGregor into deep water, take him late into the fight, and make him get tired and gassed, and then take him out. Eddie Alvarez did none of that. Absolutely none of it. One of the things is, I mean, Conor McGregor just put on a clinic. It was pretty much like he was playing. I mean, he literally was playing with Eddie Alvarez. Eddie Alvarez, it seemed like he walked in there with absolutely no game plan. It was definitely, I mean, it was just so much, there was too much power and not enough strategy on Eddie Alvarez's part. In the first round, very, very quick into the first round, Conor caught him with that vicious left hand, and he dropped. Eddie gets up again. You know, he comes at Conor without really thinking about how he wants to attack Conor. Conor cracks him again and drops him. In the first round, Conor ended up dropping him three times in the first round, and then into the second round. It goes, and it was still the same business as usual, where Eddie came right at Conor. He didn't stay away from Conor's power hand. Conor dropped him one more time, and then Eddie gets up. Eddie comes at him. Conor hits him with a combination, and at that point, the fight was stopped, and it was over. And I've listened to a lot of other interviews about this fight, and the first thing that everyone says is it's like he had no game plan. And one of the things that I say is this: one of the things that everyone was giving Eddie Alvarez credit for in the weeks leading up to was that the smack talk wasn't bothering him. And I say differently, that you look at Jose Aldo, you look at Eddie Alvarez, both of these guys fell for the same game plan. Jose Aldo got so caught up with the smack talk that he wanted to show how tough that he was gonna show Conor McGregor, and he came right at Conor McGregor and he got caught and he got taken out. Eddie Alvarez, who tried to play it really cool, that it wasn't gonna bother him, that the smack talk wasn't bothering him. I say it definitely did, because when the fight started, he came right at Conor. Conor dropped him, and I felt like pride and ego took over. Strategy went out the window, and he was going to try to get back. And so he got up and he came right at Conor. He wasn't thinking. Instead of avoiding the left hand, he rotated right into the left hand. He threw wrestling was thrown out the window. It was, to me, it seemed like he was going to show Conor that he could beat him. And it just played right into Conor's hands. Conor took advantage of it and annihilated him. There's not much to talk about the fight other than the fact that Conor just used and abused him. Now, you know, and later I saw a tweet where Eddie Alvarez is, you know, he's kind of ashamed of kind of what happened. And, you know, he said he didn't go with the game plan that they had set aside, which was, you know, to rotate away from his power hand and to do wrestling. And you know, he's really frustrated with himself that he didn't stick with his game plan. But that's what made Conor McGregor so great, is the fact that the matter is that it's not necessarily where someone says everyone has a plan until you get hit in the mouth. It was Conor talks so much smack to you that even when you're pretending like it doesn't bother you, you want to show him that I'm going to be the guy that shuts you up. And that becomes so much of a focus that you get out of your game plan, which that means you've just played right into Connor's hands. And once again, you get nailed, you lose your title, and Connor's on in the ring giving a press, giving not necessarily a press conference, but an interview with Joe Rogan, which, I mean, I will never forget. It's one of the funniest interviews of all time. Not enough people have talked about that interview when he's talking about, hey, where's my belts at? He's coming to the ring. And I don't understand with the event that, with the possibility, a strong possibility that Connor was going to walk out of there with both belts. I don't understand why the UFC did not have both belts in the ring ready for him. Second of all, I think they should have made a bigger deal about this. They should have had confetti ready. I think they should have made this a huge, huge event because no one in the history of the UFC has ever even come close to doing this. They should have celebrated this like no end. And so that would have been the perfect ending. Connor's holding both belts, confetti's coming down, they're celebrating UFC New York. That would have been the perfect way to end this event. Unfortunately, it became even funnier because of the fact that Connor's doing this interview and he's talking about how, you know, he said a lot of things and everything. And then he says, I'd like to apologize to absolutely no one. And he says, where's my belt at? And then he gets his belt. And then he looks at Rogan and he says, oh, this looks good. This looks good. And then Rogan thanks him for, the fights. And he tells him, you're welcome. And it was just a classic post-fight interview that actually seemed like it went longer than the fight. As far as Eddie Alvarez goes, I mean, it was just, his whole world came crashing down. This is pretty much, New York is pretty much Eddie Alvarez's hometown. And he had maybe one of the worst performances of, and it's not maybe about it. This was Eddie Alvarez's worst performance of his career. I've seen pretty much 90% of all Eddie Alvarez's fights, and you're always impressed by Eddie Alvarez. Tonight, or that night, there was nothing to be impressed about. I mean, you can tell he's a tough guy because he took some monstrous shots. But, Connor came out of this fight unscathed. And, Connor could fight the next event if he wanted to. He took no damage. So the next question is, what's next for Connor? And there's some talk that, does he go back down and defend his featherweight title? Does he defend the lightweight title? Or the thing that I think is a strong possibility, does he go up weight, which he just fought Diaz at 170 pounds? Does he go and he fight Tyron Woodley for the welterweight title? That may sound crazy, but I think that's more of a realistic situation as the days and weeks go on. I could see a serious scenario where the next event is Conor McGregor going for a third title against Tyron Woodley, especially with the fact that McGregor and Woodley got into a really serious altercation in the back before the fight, where they got into a bit of an argument. And then, some of the interviews that Tyron Woodley's said at the press conference, he would be totally open to fighting Conor McGregor. And so I could definitely see that as the next fight. The interesting thing about that, about thinking about Tyron Woodley and Conor McGregor, is when you're looking at that not press conference, but the post fight, and McGregor's asking for his belt, McGregor's belt was actually in the back locker room and no one had access to it. So Tyron Woodley was, a team player, and he actually gave Dana his belt to take to the ring. So when McGregor was actually holding up the two titles, he was actually holding up the lightweight title and the welterweight title. He really wasn't holding the featherweight title. Is that foreshadowing for what's going to come in the future? I don't know. But it was. I found it kind of funny that McGregor was already holding the lightweight and featherweight titles in the ring. Now, the lightweight and welterweight titles in the ring. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about that welterweight fight between Tyron Woodley and Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. It was a great fight. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Okay, we're back, and we just got done talking about the main event for UFC 205, the Conor McGregor-Eddie Alvarez fight, in which Conor McGregor actually gained the already had the featherweight title, and he gained the lightweight title. And then we also talked about what's next. And one of the things we talked about what was next is the possible fight between Conor McGregor and Tyron Woodley. And before before that ever happens, Tyron Woodley had his own fight with Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. And this fight it's more known for the outcome or the announcement of the outcome than the fight. But in my opinion, it was the best fight of the night. You had the up-and-coming star, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, against Tyron Woodley, who's been around for a long time, who just became the welterweight champion after years of success in the UFC. And to be honest with you, before this fight, I said that I didn't think there was anyone in the division that could actually defeat Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. I thought Wonderboy was just too hard to train for and too hard to prepare for. And Tyron Woodley proved me wrong. The fight ended up being a majority draw, 47-47, and then one card showing Tyron Woodley is winning. When I scored this fight, and there was some crazy scoring with this fight, I scored round one as for Tyron Woodley, and I had that a 10-8 round. It could have been a 10-9 round, but I had it a 10-8 round. Round two, I had that round so too close to call, but I gave that to Wonderboy. Round three, again, a round that was too close to call, but I gave that to Tyron Woodley. Round four was an absolute annihilation of Wonderboy Thompson. And Tyron Woodley made a huge mistake. He had Wonderboy out on his feet. Wonderboy's eyes had rolled back in his head. He was done. Tyron had nailed him a couple of different times. The first time he nailed him and dropped him, and Wonderboy got up, he was a little wobbly, but that second shot, he was done. And he was knocked out. But one of the things that happens in fighting is you can literally knock a guy out and then hit him again and wake him up. And that is exactly what happened in this fight. Wonderboy was knocked out unconscious, got hit again, woke up, and then Woodley started working on him. And it was just a matter of seconds, maybe two, three more shots, and this fight has stopped. But Tyron Woodley made the hugest mistake of all, which I've seen a lot of fighters make this mistake, and that is he went for the submission instead of the knockout. And one of the things that happens when you go for a submission over a knockout, when you have a guy in trouble, the best thing to do is to keep causing damage so that they don't get their head right. But when Tyron Woodley put him in a guillotine choke, yes, he was choking Wonder Boy, but the thing that was the most pressing for him was for Wonder Boy was trying to get his head together. And that's exactly what happened. Wonder Boy, while he's trying not to get submitted, he's getting enough time to get his head right, get his equilibrium back together, and he ended up surviving. Now, I will tell you this. I have never seen anyone take a guillotine choke like Wonder Boy took. That was in deep, and I thought he was going to tap. I really thought he was going to tap. But the bad news was he was in that guillotine for so long that you could tell that Tyron Woodley's arms were gassing, and they were fried. So when he actually, at the end of the round, when Wonder Boy ended up getting out of the guillotine choke, and it goes into the final round, if Wonder Boy, I do wonder this, if Wonder Boy would have pressed him a lot harder and put a lot of pressure, could he have taken out Tyron Woodley? Because Woodley's arms were done. Woodley was done. He had put too much into that submission. And even in an interview afterwards, he talks about how, you know, his arms were barely able to, you know, even hold him up because they were so gassed. You know, and that was a bad decision on his part to go for the submission. But I think it was also a bad decision on Wonder Boy's part not to just say, you know what, I'm leaving it all on the line and I'm just going to put it all on the line and try to go for the submission. Not submission, but the knockout right now in the fifth round. Anyway, the whole situation went down. When the scores were given, initially, they scored it two cards had it a draw. Two judges scored it a draw. And a third judge had it Tyron Woodley winning. And they announced it as a winner and still champion. And I was confused. I'm like, wait a minute. You can't have a two cards being a draw and have a winner. And then the judges and everyone got together and then they realized that it was the wrong decision was announced. And you could see the look on Tyron's face because it looked like he was, you could see the fear in his face, in his eyes, that they were going to take his title from him and give it to Wonder Boy. And you could see how, like, all the air was let out of him. And Joe Rogan was just trying to explain to him, listen, no, nothing's changed. It's still the same scores. You still retain the title. It's just a majority draw. And they got it right in the end. It was a majority draw. I personally had Tyron winning, where I'm a little surprised because going into this, I was taking Wonder Boy to win the title. But I had Tyron winning. And so I was, you know, I was a little surprised by the card, but I mean the score, it was a close fight. It could have went either way. I wouldn't have been upset. I'm not upset over the draw because I think that's a good decision. I wouldn't have been upset if Tyron won. The only decision that could, I don't think, you know, and some people actually had Wonder Boy winning. I would not have agreed with that. Even Dana said he had the fight going into the fifth round a draw. And everyone agrees that Wonder Boy won that fight, which means that Dana actually has Wonder Boy winning the fight. One of the things that was interesting is Dana said they definitely think it should be a rematch. But Tyron doesn't think so. You know, he feels like he won the fight. He thinks he should be able to go on to fight someone else, a GSP, a Diaz, a Conor McGregor. But I think that the UFC is going to push for a Tyron Woodley Wonder Boy Thompson rematch. And it'll be interesting because going into this fight, I felt very comfortable that Stephen Thompson would win this fight and become the new champion. On the rematch, I actually think this time Tyron actually has a better understanding of what he's going to be in the ring against with Stephen Thompson. And I think he'll be actually do a lot better. I think actually if there's a rematch, I would actually take Tyron Woodley to defend his title. And I definitely, we actually, and it's actually now proven that Tyron can knock him out, which I think would make Wonderboy a lot more tentative. And I think it'll make that Tyron Woodley a lot more aggressive. So it'll be an interesting situation to see what happens next. I could see either the rematch, but I could also see a situation where McGregor and Woodley are actually in the ring together as well. So now another fight that actually took place on this card that I want to talk about is the other championship fight. And that's the women's strawweight fight, which was Joanna Jędrzejczyk against Karolina Kowalczyk. And this fight, you had two Polish superstars fighting in New York, where there's a huge Polish population. This was a tailor-made fight for Madison Square Garden. And it didn't let us down. I think a lot of people are making a big deal about how well Karolina Kowalczyk performed against Joanna Jędrzejczyk. But the fact of the matter is, Joanna, in my opinion, won every single round. Even the round that she ended up hurting Joanna Jędrzejczyk, Joanna dominated the round at the beginning. She got tagged in the middle, and she dominated the round at the end. Now, I personally thought she beat her up consistently all the way through. Joanna, it was just, she threw like a 3 and 4 and 5 punch combination, and she always finished her combinations with a leg kick, which was more than Kowalczyk could even handle. Kowalczyk proved she's a very tough fighter. But I think a lot of people are just surprised that she had the ability to actually hurt Joanna. A big part of how Joanna ended up getting hurt is because in the second round, through, I believe it was more of a push-off, she ended up hurting Joanna's nose. And then when that shot landed later in the fight, I think it just totally just shattered Joanna's nose. And that's what kind of staggered her. Both fighters, they both put up a great, nice showing. But I really didn't see a reason for, everyone's talking about a rematch and maybe in Poland. I didn't really see a reason to have a rematch. I scored the fight 5-0. If you give that round that she hurt Joanna in, it was 4-1. Not enough to warrant an immediate rematch, which a lot of people are talking about and demanding. So we'll see what happens there. Joanna has just shown that she is just going through that division, and she has no equal in that division. And I'm very curious of what's going to happen with her going forward. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about two other fighters that fought. Actually, we'll talk about a couple other ones as well that fought on this card. The first one that we're going to talk about is the Chris Weidman fight with Yoel Romero. And then we're also going to talk about Miesha Tate. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, we're back. And we just got done finishing talking about Joanna Jędrzejczyk's defense of her title against Karolina Kowalczyk, We also talked about Tyrone Woodley defending his title against Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. And now we're going to talk about the number one contender fight where matchup where you had the winner of this fight being determined as the real number one contender for the middleweight strap, which put Chris Weidman against Yoel Romero. And this is one of those fights where it was a tale of two totally different fights in my book. First round, it was Chris Weidman. Chris Weidman came out, and I have to be honest, this was absolutely the best Chris Weidman I have ever seen. It's crazy to say that, but without question, in my book, this was the best Chris Weidman I had ever seen. He was putting together combinations. He was aggressive. He was busy. And I thought he was really taking it to Yoel Romero. I was impressed. And then a strange thing happened. What happened was there was an eye poke, an accidental eye poke, which was an accidental foul. And from that point on, the fight changed. And it went from Chris Weidman being the aggressor to Yoel Romero being the aggressor. And it, like all the way through, I went back and I watched this fight twice. It was like two totally different fights. The first half, the first fight, it was all Chris Weidman, combinations, everything. And then Yoel Romero was the one that was the powerful kicks, you know, constantly taking it to Chris Weidman. And then out of nowhere, there was this flying knee that just nailed Chris Weidman on the side of the head, and it was over. I'd never seen Chris Weidman, well, there's never been a situation where Chris Weidman has ever been hit like that. He was down, he was done, and it was just blood just pouring from his head. I was more worried about him and the injury, as in that they were going to have to get him to the hospital right away because the blood was just coming down. And it was quite gruesome, but they were able to stop the blood. Another thing that I think a lot of people were really upset with Yoel Romero was Yoel Romero jumped over the top of the cage, and he came out and he started marching like a soldier. And I think a lot of people took offense to that. And he was walking, he was goose-stepping, which a lot of people, when you think of goose-stepping, you think of Nazis and things like that. Then he got back in the ring, and he's goose-stepping. Then he turns to one area, and he salutes. He turns to another area, and he salutes. And I think a lot of people know what I'm talking about with this one. I wanted to give a little clarification on that, because I think he was misunderstood. First off, Yoel Romero's from Cuba, and that is the way Cuban soldiers actually march. And so if you grew up in Cuba and that's the way you're used to seeing soldiers march, that's the way you march. And so he was trying to show that he was a soldier of God, because that's his nickname, Soldier of God. So he was marching like a Cuban soldier, and he did the saluting, but he didn't mean anything bad by it, because I know he got a lot of boos from the marching, and I know a lot of people were talking about this. But it was more because he was just emulating a Cuban soldier, and he was just showing how he was a soldier of God. So he did the marching. Then he pointed up at this guy stating soldier of God. So I wanted to make sure that was clear, because sometimes things like that can get misconstrued. And if there's no one explaining, you know, why someone is doing what he's doing, there could be some questions. And so I wanted to explain that one. And then the other thing that happened is the situation where Michael Bisping, which is the middleweight champ, was actually there, and they're on the screen, and Yoel's looking at the screen, and then Bisping actually flips him off. And Yoel says to him, he has one thing to say, and he says, I love you. And he says, I'll see you in the ring, boy. That was a very interesting fight. That alone made it an interesting segue into Bisping versus Yoel Romero for the middleweight title. I personally don't think the Bisping has a chance to whatsoever to beat Yoel Romero. Matter of fact, I got to be honest, whether it was Jacare Sosa or Chris Weidman, Yoel Romero, you know, it didn't matter. Any of the four guys that were up for the middleweight title, I would have taken. I would take any of those guys over Bisping. I just don't think he has a chance in hell against any of them. So that's going to be the next fight that's going to be brought about. Just giving you my take on that one. All right, now we're going to move on to a fight which I was really looking forward to. There's no secret, I am a big fan of women's mixed martial arts, especially the women's bantamweight division. And when it comes to the bantamweight division, not just because my last name is Tate, but my favorite fighter has to be Misha Tate. But the last two times I've seen her fight has not been the best situation, where she just lost her title to Amanda Nunes, and then she just got out of hustled and outworked this past week by Raquel Pennington. And at the end, she actually retired. She announced that she was going to give her retirement up. And the question that was asked was, why are you retiring? Was it the decision that made you retire? And she said, yes. She said, it's not my time, it's their time. And I kind of got to agree with her. I mean, when you look at the facts that she fought two up-and-coming bantamweight stars and she ended up losing poorly to both of them, that's a telltale sign that, you know, your time has passed. She has been one of the true ambassadors to women's mixed martial arts. I would, you know, and I everyone gives Ronda Rousey credit, but I think Ronda Rousey and Misha Tate are the two biggest ambassadors to come through women's mixed martial arts, especially when it comes to the UFC. And so I think a lot of people should, you know, praise her for what a great career. I think she has a fabulous career that will be set up for her after she's done in the UFC, which is, she's saying she's officially retired. I want to see if, you know, after a little bit of time, when she come back. But I would love to see her in the broadcast booth, because I think, you know, she has one of those names where everyone wants to see and hear what she has to say. But as a whole, I just want to thank her for just putting up some of the best fights and some of the most enjoyable moments in women's mixed martial arts. And so even though she ended on a loss, her career has been a huge success. And she's a winner. She's an absolute winner in my book and a true champion. So she will definitely be missed. And who knows, maybe she will come back. But I wanted to make sure that part was brought up as well. Now, there's another fight. This is, the Frankie Edgar, Jeremy Stephens fight. That was another fight that was a really fun fight to watch, where Frankie Edgar actually, you know, put on a good fight, and Jeremy Stephens and Stephens did as well. But the fight I want to talk about is Khabib Nurmagomedov. Wow, that is a tough one. You think Joanna Jędrzejczyk is tough? Try Khabib's name against Michael Johnson. And this fight, first off, Khabib has not lost, and I believe it's like 20 something fights. He's 20-0. Khabib has just dominated everyone he stepped in the ring with, but never have I seen someone dominate quite the way he did at UFC 205. I mean, this was a grappling clinic, and his record as a whole, just to get it correct, he's 24-0 with no draw, with zero, no draws, 8 knockouts, 8 submissions. He has been pretty much unstoppable. He's a Russian fighter who has just been a tornado, a hurricane, whatever you want. Insert any dominating word you want, and that's exactly who Khabib has been. He went in there, and the thing that shocked me the most of this whole fight, it isn't how dominant he is, because every time I see him, as long as he's healthy and he's not injured, every time he gets in the ring, he always dominates everyone he gets in the ring with. The thing that shocked me was the fact that he actually got caught this time. He got caught and he got hurt for a few seconds in the fight, which was a surprise. But once he got his head together, he put on a wrestling clinic where Johnson was just pinned to the ground, and he was just, I mean, Michael Johnson had no answer. He couldn't get up. He couldn't move. And Khabib puts down maybe the most powerful and just painful ground and pound I'd ever seen anyone dish out. Johnson just took massive shot after massive shot after massive shot. And it was just, I mean, it was just an annihilation. And the reason why I bring this fight up is you have a guy who is 24-0, who has never had a title shot. This guy deserves a title shot. And afterwards, he's always been quite a gentleman in the ring. But it was kind of funny listening to him in his interview, and he's talking about how the hype machine has just kind of pushed Conor McGregor through, you know, his popularity through the roof. But, you know, you're from a country that has, 60 million people, Conor McGregor is, and he tapped like a chicken. And Khabib is from Russia, where there's 150 million, and he's 24-0. And a lot of people were booing, but there's some truth to that. There's some truth that he is 24-0 and no one stopped him, and he should be entitled to a title shot soon. I don't think it's going to happen, because I think he's going to have to fight Ferguson next, and then the winner will fight probably Conor at some point. But he did bring on a great point. I would love to see that. I'm a little more intrigued by this fight now, after seeing him get hit by Johnson, because I tell you what, there's been no one that has been able to handle getting hit by Conor McGregor. And if Conor hits Khabib, it's over. But I will tell you this, there's no one. If you're on the ground and Khabib is on top of you, you're done. And so this is one of those where this is that grappler versus boxer situation where I would love to see this fight. Normally, I would just say, oh, this is something that Conor is going to win with ease. That is not the truth. I don't know who would win between Khabib and Conor. I would love to see who's going to win. But that's a fight that's gonna happen at some point, as long as Conor keeps holding on to that belt. And I would love to see how it turns out. But that concludes my just going over all the fights and everything for UFC 205. There's other fights on there that I didn't touch on, but for the most part, it was a phenomenal card. In my opinion, the absolute best card the UFC has ever put together. That concludes our show of our UFC 205 wrap up. I'd like to thank you all for tuning in. And remember, you can always download us on iTunes. Follow us on www.gsmcpodcast.com. And with that, good night, and hope to see you guys at the fights.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.